Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport. Thank you for coming back to the Inside Lacrosse Podcast. I am Terry Foy, and I am joined by Utah lacrosse coach Brian Holman. And boy, does it feel good to say that. First things first, Coach Holman, congratulations on the culmination of an unbelievable process to bring this program to fruition. Soup to nuts, you've been a part of it all, and certainly at the center of a team that accomplished something that is one of the rarest feats in the sport of lacrosse. So I want to start with the big picture 30,000 foot question, which is, as you reflect on it, what immediately comes to mind and how does it feel?
First of all, Terry, thanks. That's an awesome introduction. Not worthy of that, but I appreciate that. It feels great. It feels great. We came out here, actually it was 1 year ago today. With an intent purpose on executing a plan that was developed by, myself and the staff and a few other people. And it feels good. It always feels good when you set your goals and you can achieve them. And I think we did that. So that's the first stage of this process. Some people were saying now the hard work begins, and I disagree with that a little bit. What we consider here coaching lacrosse and educating young men, I've never looked at it as far as work. So I'm really excited to start having fun, having a little bit of the pressure off, from that perspective of whether this is going to get done or not. So, all in all, feels great. We've hurdled that climbed that mountain, so to speak, and now we're ready to set our sights on what the next steps are as developing this program and helping this university. So, thank you.
There's going to be plenty of time to talk about the nuts and bolts of how it came to fruition and Utah lacrosse in the aggregate. But I want to start by just talking a little bit about you and your career, particularly for those who either are familiar with Marcus or familiar with you as a coach, but maybe don't understand the full breadth of why I have said many times that you are the perfect guy to handle this undertaking. And I think there are three factors that converge that make that statement true. So the first is you're an incredibly high-level lacrosse player at Johns Hopkins. And then at that point, you began your coaching career, but at the same time developed a professional career as kind of an entrepreneur. And I think that there's a lot about that is pertinent in this conversation. Around the time that your kids left to play college and Sydney in the last couple of years of high school, you got back into coaching in earnest and spent nearly a decade on the North Carolina sidelines. And then now, obviously, have taken on this undertaking in Utah, certainly a combination of those two factors. And then the last thing I'd be interested in is the way in which it corresponds and coalesces. You've been one of the more outwardly vocal folks about how important your spirituality is to these types of endeavors. So, just in terms of filling in the gaps, do you mind just kind of explaining a little bit about your professional background aside from your coaching experience?
You probably don't have enough time. you could call me a jack of a lot of trades and certainly a master of none. It's been a great road. And I think one of the things that benefits me is just the experiences and the trials and tribulations of life. And I think, coaching, raising kids, coaching, I've had my hands in lacrosse at all stages, and I relish this because I think it's, again, it helps me be a better person, and it also helps me be a better coach, I believe. But I've been coaching lacrosse for over 30 years, and literally I don't think there's been one spring in the last 30 years that I haven't been coaching, and that means the rec lacrosse leagues, the club lacrosse leagues. I remember coaching a fresh soft team at Boys Latin, similar to a team that we had out here this year. So all those experiences that I think, Terry, have really helped me develop as a human being, number one, and then as a coach and hopefully a good leader of young men. And that's ultimately what my goal is. So that, and then obviously the business background, you know, I had success early on in business, and I also had a lot of failures. And again, I'm reading this book called Falling Upward, and you know what it talks about is growing in your life, but most of that growth, as we all are starting to learn, has come through how you manage and handle failures. And so I had a lot of success there, had failure there. I had a great opportunity to manage a lot of people at one time. I think that really helps, again, when you're talking about taking over and running an organization. And then the last experience with Coach Breschett at Carolina was a life changer. Joe and I met at UMBC, an original, you know, when back when Jake Reed's camp was Jake's camp, and we sat in the stands and talked for 3.5 hours one day. And that was really our initial meeting about me potentially coming to North Carolina. And you talk about spirituality a little bit, and that connection automatically occurred with Joe and I, about having such a strong faith, and allowing God to really kind of work through us, instead of us trying to manipulate, you know, him in a way. And that led me to Carolina, and that taught me a lot. You know, I was humbled by that experience. My experience there was a volunteer assistant, and I remember having my first office kind of built right outside the locker room in the old part of Keenan Stadium, and I did it all. I collected balls and I cleaned out the locker rooms, and you know, I washed the uniforms and we packed the jerseys, and I wouldn't trade that for the world, because that brought me to the lowest level of Division I lacrosse, and over time, I proved my worth to Joe and the staff and to the university and to the kids, and raised up the ranks, and I felt my last year at Carolina was one of ultimate importance with the staff and Joe and Metzi and everybody there, Coach Weiss. So it's been a great journey, but in my mind right now, the journey begins again, right? And somebody said to me the other day, you're 56 and how many more years do you have left coaching? And I'm just starting right now. So I have plenty of energy and plenty of thoughts, and I'm surrounded by such wonderful young men that, you know, if that doesn't wake you up every day and get the pot going, then nothing does. So, sorry for the long winded answer, but it's kind of a complicated question, you know, about the history. But what I'm really proud of most of all, is Laura has raised an awesome family. I'm extremely, strong in my faith, and I'm proud of that. And now we have an opportunity to what I think is build something extremely special here at the University of Utah. And then we will affect a lot of kids in a different way with this program, kind of be the further program west, and maybe opening a few more doors. There's no guarantee to that, you know, and I think first and foremost, you know, just what we can do here in the in Utah is going to have an impact. So let's start there, and then hopefully maybe broadening horizons. But you know, we're not saviors. We're not going to change the world in lacrosse. But I certainly think we can open some more doors for the youth to maybe have a higher level of opportunity. So there you go.
I think it's an amazing fact that you basically are 366 days away from the beginning of the process in earnest. And I want to go back to around that window of time. You know, I think that it's kind of an open rumor or an open secret that there was interest from outside the athletic department in enhancing the profile and experience of lacrosse on campus. And what I was hoping you could help clarify is how that outreach occurred to you, what your reaction was when you heard of the prospect of Utah lacrosse, whether it be club or varsity, and how that integrated into the Utah Athletic Department, once you kind of arrived and started rolling up your sleeves.
That's kind of a unique story on its own. I was about towards the end of last year, Coach Fresh and I sat down and talked about, you know, the future and my role, and trust me, I loved being at North Carolina. I still miss it to this day, and I miss the relationships with with the staff and Joe and like I said, Metsy and Coach Martin. But I had this fire, this desire to look at possibly having a program or being a head coach on my own. And Joe, you know, he encouraged, and he always does, you know, definitely you should take a look and coach, you know, you would be a good candidate for that type of job. Long story short, there were some opportunities in and out, kind of put my name out into the market, so to speak. And I got a phone call from a friend of mine, said that, you know, here, you might be looking for a head coaching job. Would you be interested in talking to someone about the University of Utah? And I literally just laughed right on the phone. And I said, no way, you know, been to Utah twice. I think we took the kids skiing out here a long, long time ago. But I, you know, looked at it as on the other side of the earth, and I just didn't think it was real. So flash forward a few weeks later, I began some conversations with a gentleman that was very influential about getting us out here, and a lot of people know it. And David doesn't like it when we mentioned his name, but it was David Nealman, and you know, very engaging conversations, very thought provoking conversations, very, very passionate conversations about the sport, and we seemed to be clicking. And my wife Lori encouraged me to really take a look at the school and visit. And once I visited, there was just this feeling of, you know, wow, this could be something special. So David and I sat down for days and really started talking about what the formation of this plan would look like and how we might be able to go about it. And I shared with him a lot of thoughts that I had of building over 30 years in lacrosse of what I would like a program to look like. And he challenged me on a lot of things, and long and short of it, you know, we had some really good business type discussions about what this program would look like. And I think that's a huge part of this process is we looked at it not just so much for what athletically it could do, but what it could do in a greater scope, in a greater vision. And I like looking at things that way. So that was encouraging. We met with the athletic department, and basically I laid out a plan for them to say, listen, you know, here's what we think we can do for you, the school, and so on, and the community. And this would be our approach to raising the level of lacrosse awareness, in the state and also for the university. And the athletic department said, hey, listen, that sounds good. You know, if you proceed with this and you're willing to make that level of commitment, we'll make a commitment level to you in the sense of we will continue to see how the progress works and hit stages and kind of set the sort of the carrot out there for us to achieve. And that's when the staff and I got together and we pushed forward with that plan. And that plan had like three or four different prongs. You know, one, it was obviously we had to produce a good product on the field, and we did our darndest to do that. We had to put people in the stands, and we did a really nice job to do that. And we had to raise money within the community and not just all the money coming from a donor or two donors or three donors. The school wanted to see an impact community-wide and not just a limited few. And we did that. We have well over 100 and some odd donors, and it's climbing daily right now with members throughout the community. And then we wanted to then the school then formed a committee to really dig deeper to see if this was a viable part of Utah's world. And we met with that committee several times. Larry Scott, the commissioner of the Pac-12, came in and met, talked about, you know, how advantageous it would be for Utah to be maybe the first fish in the pond in the Pac-12. So you know, all those factors started to move in a very positive and encouraging and enlightening direction. And basically the athletic department just sat back and said, holy cow, you know, this is powerful. And that was almost the quote, you know, from them at a certain point in this whole endeavor. And then, you know, basically the committee recommended to the president that they thought this would be a viable new entity into the university. The president took the committee's recommendation and recommended to the board that we bring lacrosse on as a Division I sport at Utah. And the culmination was last Friday at that press conference. So a lot of factors, a lot of work, a lot of organization. But bottom line to me, in the staff, which was powerful. And I got to go back and mention my staff. Those three guys, I mean, they came out here with a leap of faith as well, but they came out here all under the same premise that this could be something unique, and it fits their personalities because they love the game of lacrosse so much. And they spent from September, Terry, to March of this year just ingratiating themselves in the community. And at one point, I don't know what the number is now, we had seen over 900 kids in the state of Utah in a clinic form or a teaching form. And most of that was not monetary. Most of that was just going out and getting 30 kids at a time and 50 kids at a time in the groundswell of teaching and coaching and loving the game of lacrosse. And that might be one of the more prouder moments for all of us right now. So, you know, not to lose sight of what's really important. That's how it took shape. And again, you know, I think it's unique because of the monetary situation that we did have with a few donors. But I don't think it's unique in the sense that this plan couldn't be replicated at other schools. And I think looking at the broader perspective, I think if you could find a group of guys that we really want to dig their heels in, I think if the athletic department was willing, I think other schools could look at this plan and put it into effect.
And I want to jump in there because, first of all, I want to thank you for your candor, because there's a lot that you just explained that was, you know, so detailed that it allows me to make this statement. What I love the most about your process is, to your point, it is unique. I would argue that, you know, this beat, so to speak, the expansion of men's Division I NCAA lacrosse has been a passion of mine since I started inside lacrosse. So really, you know, kind of looking back at a decade-long window. And Utah will be the 12th program since 2010 when you and St. Bonaventure take the field in 2019. So 12 teams in 10 years. And from my perspective, the thing about Utah that is most unique is the fact that the momentum to explore the feasibility started outside the department. And I think that that's something that's incredibly important, because lacrosse as a community has so much advocacy within it and so much strength within it that if it remains a situation where athletic departments need to begin this process of their own volition, the pace will not satisfy ardent lacrosse fans that want to see growth at the Division I men's level. So I think that is the most unique aspect of a replicatable model. But what I actually appreciate the most is the fact that the new sport working community that the athletic department or the university established, my understanding based on having watched the press conference on Friday and you know, some other conversations that I've had, is that their default was no, we are not going to do this. And they put the burden of convincing on each individual advocate that came before them and the group that you spearheaded in total. And I think that is the most telling aspect of this, overcoming the skepticism or cynicism that was aptly applied to the scenario, reinforces the idea that this is a good thing for the community and for the athletic department, for the university. And I think that, you know, that those two factors, realizing that it is possible. Now, granted, there are very few people that are in the situation that they could have the level of influence that Utah lacrosse was blessed to have, but those people do exist in other numbers. So, you know, if there's an interest among someone else in the lacrosse community that took notice of this and said, maybe I can do that at my alma mater or a university that I'm invested in, and then there's this understanding of how to navigate, you know, a committee review, I totally agree with you that, in my opinion, Utah has laid out a replicatable model. And for all of the factors that this is important, to me, that is the most important factor.
Yeah. And again, Terry, I couldn't agree more. And your advocacy has been off the charts, and it really helps to have an advocate in the press world that, you know, that puts these things out there. And I don't think, you know, is it unique? Sure. I mean, did we take a chance? Yeah. But that, I mean, you know, great risk, great rewards. You know, I was so honored when I saw Coach Tierney's tweet I think it was a tweet. And I'm sure, knowing Coach T, I'm not sure he sent it out, but you know, about having, you know, guts, passion and money. And I that honored to see that coming from Coach, that was an honor. And, And I think that's what it takes. I think that's what it takes to do most things, right? I mean, you know, we're all passionate about this sport. This group I have is extremely passionate about it. It means so much to them and me in my life. Everybody's got to have some guts. Everybody's got to have some foresight and take some chances and some risks. Yes, did it help to have a David Neeleman on your side? Sure it did. Sure it did. But there's other guys out there of that ilk that all, you know, also can open some doors in other areas of the country with athletic departments. And then you got to prove your mettle, right? You got to work, you know, to make this happen. I think if we all sit back and say, oh, well, can't wait till UCLA just says we're going to add men's lacrosse, that's actually fool's gold. That'll probably won't happen. And Chris Hill made the mention in his press conference about, you know, having these programs endowed now are certainly a way to go. And I think that's the mindset shift that has to occur in the sport. You know, we can't just sit around saying, hey, we have this great game. We have all these kids playing, and why aren't these schools adding lacrosse? Well, there's, as we know, there's an extreme monetary component to it that, you know, most schools are don't want to do this because they're financially, they're not rolling in the dough, right? So yeah. And that committee, the funny story about that is the committee was technically supposed to vote on this in March. And the overwhelming feeling we had was that if that vote took place in March, this would have been a no. So at that time, we had to shift gears and really kind of pull back and not pressure the committee so much into, you know, meeting with people. And we actually sort of restructured some things and we kind of made them hold on for a while and until we could keep the wheels rolling. And that vote got extended out into May, which was the saving grace of this whole process. So there was a lot of cool things that happened behind the scenes here that, you know, really if one thing would have went one way or another way, you know, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. And that's what made it fun. And that's what made it exciting. And that's what made it challenging. Right. I mean, shoot, that's the cool part of all this. So I agree with you.
You mentioned Coach Tierney and whether or not he sent that tweet. I can't confirm. However, he did text me when I solicited his feedback on what he thought this meant. His first comment, in my opinion, was most telling, and it's going to set up my next question. So he said, "The beauty of the lacrosse world is that news like this makes us all truly happy." And I say that to say that this entire conversation, you know, on all the podcasts that I do over the course of the year, is kind of like eating a brownie sundae. And to this point, we've been eating the brownie, but I want to shift to the whipped cream and the cherry on top, because for as excited as everybody is at the reality of Utah, there's always so much interest. The first thing that happens whenever a school announces is who's next, right? And it's ridiculous when you consider, all right, can we just take a day or two to like exhale and celebrate the fact that this has happened? But now we're 2 days removed, so I feel like we can more appropriately talk about this idea of the Pac-12, right? And I want to, for the first time, disclose that I was fortunate in December to have a meeting with Larry Scott in which we talked about the prospect of men's lacrosse in the Pac-12. And I put it to him, I was like, it's shocking to me that we're having this conversation, because while I understand that you, Larry, as a man with a reputation for being very you know, forward-looking and progressive, who obviously has already seen the formation of Pac-12 women's lacrosse, understands that there's momentum behind what's going on at Utah, and I believe his sons play lacrosse as well. He has a fully formed perspective on the prospect of men's lacrosse, but my point was, my understanding of the way that the relationship between university athletic departments and conferences and conference commissioners work is that while you can advise them on what is the right course of action, ultimately a conference commissioner's responsibility is to lay out an agenda that will allow the universities to accomplish their goals through their conference affiliation. And it's not that different from Roger Goodell works for the NFL owners. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. You know, I was like, isn't it really rare for a conference commissioner to be, if not advocating, then at least recommending that university athletic departments consider or pursue the addition of a sport? And he acknowledged, yes, it is rare. And what's fascinating to me is your perspective on why. You have an acute understanding of why this is a good thing for Utah. But as you extrapolate that out, what are the considerations that you think the other 13 Pac-12 universities and athletic departments would consider, and what's been communicated to you about why the commissioner of the Pac-12 thinks that this would be a good thing for some of the universities and athletic departments in his conference?
All great questions, and I'm not sure I'm smart enough to kind of filter through all that and figure it out. But what I know is good for Utah will be good for Colorado, would be good for Stanford, USC. You know, we have one of the fastest growing games, and even though it's growing fast, I do think lacrosse is at kind of at a crossroads, and I think we need to be careful on just growth for growth's sake. So I had a great talk with Steve Sanderson, who came out to visit. We talked about how we're hoping to get the youth programs rearranged here in Utah to just be more consistent in our teaching and teaching more of the fundamentals and the things that really are going to be necessary for these kids to grow up in the game and play it at a little bit of a higher level, more competitive level. So that's off the course. But what I know is good for Utah is, you know, we have a game that is very fan friendly. We have an audience that is growing rapidly. The young kids in this country that like the action, that like the contact. You know, I think we got to go back to really kind of feeding that monster a little bit. And again, you know, exposing them to higher levels of play, really, it's going to help. One of the things I said in the press conference, well, I can't wait till these young kids come out and watch us. Hopefully we'll be there one day athletically at the pace of the game and be able to see a Denver play lacrosse and how well they play it and their stick work and their fundamentals and, you know, how precise they are and how well coached they are and in North Carolina to play lacrosse and their athleticism. And that just feeds the monster. So you know, we develop a community that's passionate about the sport. What it does for the school, I mean, it's evident. You know, we have one of the highest graduation rates of all NCAA programs, men's and women's, right? We have kids that come in and do really well in school with limited resources. You know, there's 40, 45 young men on a lacrosse team. You know, most schools have one academic counselor or advisor. I'm not sure they have many more than that. And that's a limited resource for such a big, big entity. And typically those teams do very well academically. And that's a badge of honor, right? So you have a team that's going to be an ACC honor rolls and academic All-Americans and you know, promote the school that way. You know, and then you have the opportunity, and some people will say no to this, but I do believe this. You know, I think as we do grow and as we develop higher levels of coaches, I saw where this morning you had Ohio State as a model program and how the work that Nick's done and his staff there, knocking on the door for national championships. Well, it's another way for schools to compete at the highest level and get great recognition. You know, the Pac-12 they say that it's the conference of champions, right? They see the opportunity. Look at what happened in women's lacrosse this year. I think there was two Pac-12 teams in the final 16, if I'm not mistaken. So that's a way for the school to get recognition and compete for championships, which all athletic departments want to do, right? So, I think when you just look at it from the perspective of, you know, one thing leading to another, you know, it's worth a discussion. And that's really where we got to get to with the athletic departments is let's talk about it. You know, let's talk about, you know, what can lacrosse do that a lot of these other sports aren't even coming close to doing. And then if you can figure out a way financially to limit the exposure, which we did here, then you have like kind of the perfect storm, right? So what do I know about the Pac-12? I just know that Commissioner Scott was very gracious to us, was very instrumental in helping us with this process as well with our committee, seems to be very excited about developing a Pac-12 conference in lacrosse because he sees exactly the same thing that we all see, that there really isn't much of a downside if you can somehow navigate the financial hurdles. And as a matter of fact, it's a much bigger upside than a lot of sports that are already out there existing. I know a lot of coaches will be upset with me saying that, but that's the reality of it. So, you know, his comments to me were, you know, be the leader and don't be the follower. And that was a big push here at Utah, being a newbie to the Pac-12. Let's be a leader in a sport, and we're going to be the you know, hopefully set the bar really high in the Pac-12 on with our program. And I think if we can do that, I think we'll open some other eyes. And I do think there are other schools, just in my travels this year with the club program, that are very, very interested. And the calls are like, all right, you know, how did you do this? How can we do this? And so that momentum, I think we can capitalize on. But you know, who knows, right? I mean, you know, this is a long-term project. And I think you're right, Terry. I think it's always – in this world is what's next. Well, right now this is next. St. Bonaventure was next. Two big moves in the country. Let's relax, see what we can learn from these, and then maybe have some plans moving forward.
So let's, I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but let's get granular for one more minute. One of the things that immediately comes up when you talk about the 2019 season is who are you going to play? And whether that's, you know, in terms of running out your schedule, you've mentioned some powerhouse programs like Denver and North Carolina. But, you know, there's also the question of conference affiliation. And so until the Pac-12 does sponsor men's lacrosse, there are a handful of options available to you. You know, certainly I would imagine that you'll approach some existing conferences to see whether or not affiliation is a possibility. But one thing that I love the idea of is there the prospect of a reincarnation of the Great West Lacrosse League when High Point and Furman, over the course of a short span of time, announced that they were going to be playing men's lacrosse. I immediately saw a path towards a Southern Conference with Jacksonville, Bellarmine, and VMI representing, in, you know, kind of the existing, you know, five-team entity. It was like, all right, well, you only need one more. And then, lo and behold, Richmond comes to fruition, and there it is. They have since expanded, included Air Force and Bellarmine, as both of those programs were in need of a conference home. I do think that there is an aspect of their presence in the Southern Conference that's a little bit untenable for the long term. And so I think that when you look in the short term at Utah, Air Force, Bellarmine, and Cleveland State, which is currently playing as an independent, there's a four-team core that might make a little bit of sense. I think that extrapolating that even farther, St. Bonaventure as a prospect within the MAC makes a lot of sense because of its geography, the size of its department, its academic standards, which could in turn make Detroit's presence in that conference a little bit more untenable. And so why I bring all of those specifics up in order to paint a direct line ahead. And I'm asking only from the sense, not of what conversations you've had or whatever else, but just what is your appetite for that? Is that appealing to you, and how does it compare and contrast with the prospect of affiliation and pursuit of an AQ going forward?
Wow. I love talking with you. I'm looking up the word untenable and granular. I don't know. So granular means, I guess, like surface.
We're right? Getting into like the nitty gritty. Sort of,
all right, good. All right. So I know where you're coming from here. I got to get off the phone because this was actually my duty for today was to start making some phone calls and you know, talking to the powers that be, talking to people that have gone before me, talking to Dylan Sheridan, you know, talking to Coach Tierney, you know, getting a feel for what's acceptable out there right now, what's not. So just getting a better lay of the land. You know, couldn't really do much of that prior to this because, you know, the reality was we weren't, right? So why would people waste time? Yeah. So call me back when things work. So that's where we are. My game plan for today is just to get on the phone. So as soon as I hang up with you, that's where I'm headed. Now, number two is, you know, I think we're open for anything. Obviously the ultimate goal is a Pac-12. Yes. Is that how far out is that? We don't know, but that's ultimately. Second thing, I think that for us, you know, we want to compete at the highest levels. Who we're playing and where we're playing, I think that it's really important to us. And I know the ACC and the Big Ten and the Big East, they're big power conferences, teams that have been around for a long time. You know, we would be humbled by any one of those conferences listening to us and being affiliated with them. And ultimately, I hope that that's one of the doors that we can not break in. We see Utah, it's a Pac-12 school. So, you know, big basketball, it's big football, it's big athletics. you know, we see us in that realm. Obviously we're not there yet. Like I said, on Friday, we're a club team. That's exact, you know, you are who you are, right? And I want to make sure we stay sight of that, but I also want to make sure we're going to do everything in our power to compete with those great schools and those great conferences. So, you know, if we could be able to, you know, get in and make our presence felt and be able to build from within those conferences, that would be, you know, obviously greatly appreciated. So I think that's just this is going to take its course and it's going to take some time. And I'm hoping, and I do believe this, I think because of this being a good thing for the game, I think you know, and I know the coaches out there are all more than willing to open up their eyes and ears. It may cause some difficulty, you know, early on with travel and how to make an arrangement. But if we're all looking at the greater good and a greater process, maybe we can look through that and make some exceptions for Utah. And I'm not asking for anything. I'm not begging for anything. I'm just hoping we all look at it from a broader perspective and not just narrow. And I think knowing a lot of coaches in this game, they're going to be certainly willing to do that because they're all such great people. So that's where we're heading, Terry. And then, you know, I'll keep you posted and, you know, I'm going to hopefully make some progress here real soon.
Well, Brian, it's been a pleasure talking with you. I really, really appreciate your time. I've said it before and I'll say it again. You're the perfect man for the job. I hope the celebration continues, you know, long into the future as so much of the work gets underway, but with such a special flavor in the mouth just at what you've accomplished already.
Well, I thank you, Terry. You've been a great advocate and a really good friend through this, and I appreciate the way you handled everything. It means a lot to me, and you know, a celebration will continue because, you know, you should be celebrating your life every single day. We're blessed to be on this earth and be alive and hopefully healthy and with children. And, you know, we're going to maintain our focus on what's important in the bigger scheme. Lacrosse is lacrosse. You know, we're going to go out and recruit. We're going to try to find young men that really fit what Utah lacrosse is all about. And we just, you know, I'm blessed to be here today. And you know, that to me is what happiness is all about. And then we'll carry that over into the lacrosse world for sure. So thanks a lot, Terry. I appreciate it. And I'll talk to you down the road a little bit.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.